Here is called Someday and the Beis HaMikdash, and we are on Kapitel Chaf Dalet 24. Everybody should have gotten a sheet. There are some more. Mrs. Zirkin, if you would pass the more down. I know that Avital, I don't think, got one. And David HaMelech had two dreams in his life that he never got to fulfill. The first dream that David HaMelech had is he wanted to achieve in the way that the Avos achieved. He wanted to be given Nisyonis that the Avos had, and he wanted to be able to grow through the kind of Nisyonis the Avos had. That did not have a happy result, as we've talked about before, that ended up in the Maisa with Bathsheba, that Hashem told him he wasn't ready for that, and he never got to fulfill his dream of having the kind of Nisyonis that the Avos did. The second dream that David HaMelech had, that he ate, drank, lived, and slept his entire life, was, of course, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, throughout the Torah, the Beis HaMikdash is mentioned many times, HaMakom Asher Yivchar, the place that I will choose. And it's never specified where this place will be. However, Shmuel HaNavi, at the instruction of Hashem, revealed to David the place where the Beis HaMikdash should be built. David HaMelech had all of the plans, along with the Nevi'im for the Beis HaMikdash, and he accumulated phenomenal materials to build the Beis HaMikdash. Storehouses and storehouses full of not only building materials as woods, etc., stones, but every kind of treasure. He was prepared to the nth degree to build the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, Hashem told him, hi, Mrs. Finn. We're just talking about the fact that one of David HaMelech's greatest unrealized dreams, one of two, was to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that he had everything ready to the nth degree to build the Beis HaMikdash, but Hashem told him that he would not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And it says in Malachim that Hashem told him he can't build the Beis HaMikdash because of the fact that he had blood on his hands. That, as we know from our past discussions, David HaMelech, besides all of his other accomplishments, was a consummate warrior. And he finally defeated all of Klal Yisrael's enemies. And for the first time, there were no active wars between Klal Yisrael and their neighbors. However, there were a lot of wars and a lot of battles. And because of that, Hashem told him, you're not going to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. There's a medrash that brings an even deeper reason. And that is that, you know, we still call it Beis David. Hashem tells him, go to your house, David. He calls it Beis David. It's still called David's Beis HaMikdash, even though David HaMelech didn't actually build it. The Medrash says that had David HaMelech built it, the Beis HaMikdash would never have been able to have been destroyed. Now, gosh, that sounds like a pretty good thing, doesn't it? Except that Hashem took out his anger at the Jews on the Beis HaMikdash. Had the Beis HaMikdash been undestroyable, it would have been a terrible situation for the Jews, even worse than it was. So it says in the Pesukim that you can't build this because of the blood on your hands, but the Medrash brings a little bit of a deeper reason that Klal Yisrael wasn't ready, and wasn't, even if David HaMelech was, Klal Yisrael wasn't ready to have an undestroyable Beis HaMikdash. Now we still call it Beis David, and in fact when Shlomo HaMelech had the Chanukah Sabayis, had the dedication for the Beis HaMikdash, the doors wouldn't open. The doors wouldn't open. Let's just get an idea of what this means. I think we've mentioned this perhaps in past shiurim, that Gantz Klal Yisrael came to Yerushalayim, which until then had not existed. There was a city Yeru, and there was a city Shalem. David HaMelech put them together to Yerushalayim. He bought the land for the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo, he prepared everything with extraordinarily detailed plans and materials. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. Gantz Klal Yisrael gathered for them to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and the doors wouldn't open. No matter what they tried, they couldn't get the doors to open. Finally, the only thing that got the doors to open was Shlomo HaMelech asked Hashem to open the doors in the schus of his father David. And when Shlomo HaMelech asked for the doors to be opened in the schus of his father David, the doors miraculously opened. So even though it was built by Shlomo HaMelech, it's still Beis David. And in fact, we'll see, we'll probably be a number of weeks, because it's around Kapitel Tzadi Tes. We haven't quite gotten there yet. We're on 24, but we will someday, where David HaMelech actually davens that the base of Mikdash should open in his schus, so that his enemies will see that he was forgiven by Hashem, and that they'll feel ashamed and they'll be willing to do teshuva. Now David approached building the base of Mikdash as if he was going to be able to do it. If you recall from earlier discussions, when David HaMelech took over, the ark holding the luchos was still in the hands of the Plishtim. David HaMelech was able to defeat the Plishtim, and he's able to bring back the Aron with the luchos in it. And in fact, we discussed that when he brought this back, David HaMelech, we saw the capital where David HaMelech rejoiced when he brought back the Aron with the luchos in it. And in fact, his wife took him to task and said, "This is the way a melech behaves, dancing around with your legs flying. Right, this is the way a melech behaves. In my father's house, in Shaul's house, we would have never behaved like that." To which David responded and told her, "Yes, but Hashem took the malchus away from your father and gave it to me." David HaMelech could not restrain his joy at bringing the luchos back, because now he could build the base of Mikdash. He purchased the land for the base of Mikdash. He purchased the land from Aravna, the Yevusi. And at that point, he sat down and he wrote this kapitel. When he purchased the land for the base of Mikdash, he had the luchos. It looked like everything was going for the base of Mikdash. He wanted to write a kapitel that would be sung at the dedication of the base of Mikdash he built. And this would be that kapitel. And in fact, we say this kapitel when we return the Torah to the Ark in Davening. Every day except Shabbos. Except Shabbos we say something different, but this is the kapitel we say when we take the Torah back to the Ark. Right? Because David HaMelech wrote this kapitel, right, at that time, in order for it to be the kapitel for the dedication of the base of Mikdash. Now we also say this kapitel on Sunday. That is that every day in the base of Mikdash, the Levim would sing a different kapitel in honor of that particular day. Now, of course, out of Beis Hamikdash, at the end of davening, we say the Shir Hayayim, that the whatever kapitel the Levim would have sung on that day. And this was the kapitel for Sunday. And we'll see when we see the kapitel why this was the kapitel for Sunday. But David HaMelech wrote this with the idea of it being dedicated, being sung at the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash. Any questions so far?
So this 24 is Psalm 24 is
all,
it's practically every day. Or Monday and Thursday.
Monday and Thursday, correct. And Shabbos?
And
Yom Tov.
And Shabbos? Not
Shabbos,
Shabbos,
no.
And Yom Tov.
Monday, Thursday, and Yom Tov.
And then on Pesach it would be.
On Pesach it'll be this. But Shabbos we have something else, and when we get to that kapitel, we'll discuss why we say that one on Shabbos. But on non-Shabbos days we say this kapitel when we take the Tyra back to the ark. So the first thing about this kapitel is it starts off completely different than most. Most of them have Mizmor LaDavid. And in fact, if you're not looking carefully, you might almost say Mizmor LaDavid, because we're used to saying Mizmor LaDavid. Mizmor LaDavid, which is how we've been starting all of our kapitela, means a song for David. Meaning that David HaMelech wrote this in order to bring up and elevate his own spirits. In order to reinforce his own bitachon and his own state of mind, he wrote this kapitel sort of for himself. LaDavid Mizmor means that David HaMelech was already holding in a high level of happiness and an ecstatic state, and he wrote this kapitel for everybody else. So Mizmor LaDavid, when a kapitel starts Mizmor LaDavid, it means he wrote it for himself. Maybe not completely literally for himself, because all the Tehillim are meant to be sung in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning he's writing this, speaking to himself. LeDavid Mizmor means that David is writing some Mizmor for everybody else. So the first thing he says is, LaHashem ha'aretz u'milo'a, that Hashem is the earth and its fullness, Tevel v'yoshveva, that the inhabitant land and those who dwell in it. So the aretz, the earth and its fullness, refers to Eretz Yisrael. And Tevel, the inhabited lands, refers to those places outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem has Eretz Yisrael in its fullness, in its Kedusha, and He has the rest of the lands of the world and those who dwell in it. All those are for Hashem. Whether it's Eretz Yisrael in its Kedusha, or whether it's the Tevel with all the rest of the lands and the people in them, those are all called Lashem. Those are all for Hashem. He further describes, saying, Ki al yamim yasada, and upon the seas he founded it, ve'al naharo shichonin neha, and upon the rivers he established it. So Rashi tells us there were seven seas around Eretz Yisrael and four rivers. So these are referring to the seven seas, the seven yamim, and the naros, the rivers, are the four rivers. The rivers are the Yarden, the Yarmuk, the Carmion, and the Figa. So it's describing the glory of Eretz Yisrael, that it's surrounded by seven seas and four rivers.
And what about the Dead Sea?
That's one of the seas.
Oh, okay.
Now he asks a question in Pasuk Gimel. Mi Alev Ohar Hashem. Who can go up to the Har of Hashem? Who can go up to the Beis HaMikdash? Who is the Beis HaMikdash for? Umi Yakum B'Makom Kadsha. And who can stand in the place of His Holiness? Meaning the Kadosh HaKadoshim. So we're striving to build this Beis HaMikdash. Who is it for? Mi Yalev Har Hashem. Who can go up to the Har Hashem? We're building this tremendous Beis Hashem for what? So like any good Talmudic student, David proceeds to not answer his own question. And he says, you know what we're building it for? We're building it for someone like this. Naki Kapayim, someone who has clean hands. Clean hands means no ill-gotten gains. It means that your hands are clean. Everything you acquired in a kosher manner with only the purest actions, no deceit, no trickery, no anything of that kind of nature, that a person can have their hands clean. It means Naki Kapayim. My hands are clean. Everything I've gotten legitimately without doing anything wrong. So such a person, that's one of the criteria for a person who's Yalev Ahar Hashem, who can go up to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is for Uvar Levav, and he has a pure heart. A pure heart, that's very nice sounding. What does that mean? It means that he trembles, he fears only Hashem. That sounds like a very simple thing. We all fear Hashem. It doesn't mean someone who fears Hashem. It means someone who only fears Hashem. We fear a lot of things in life. We fear death. We fear financial ruin. We fear people not liking us. We fear problems in relationships. We fear our kids not being successful. We fear our kids not getting shiduchim. We fear a lot of things in life. But a var levav, someone who's pure of heart, only fears Hashem. We talked last week in the kapitel that David says, Ki ata imadi, that you're standing with me. That David HaMelech, it's inconceivable to him that Hashem is not at his right hand the entire time, day and night. So he says, you know who the people are that are the Beis HaMikdash is for? Uvar Levav. People who are pure of heart. How can you fear anything? Uvar Levav is someone whose only fear is that he will not live up to what Hashem wants from him. Asher lo nasa l'shav nafshi. A person who has not sworn in vain. So it means literally what it says, a person who's not taken Hashem's name in vain. Velo nishba lemirman, is not sworn deceitfully. But now David HaMelech has described a person who's flawless in three different areas. His speech is flawless because he's sworn no false oaths and not taken Hashem's name in vain. His actions are flawless because he has Naki Kapayim, his hands are clean. And his thoughts are flawless because he only fears Hashem. Such a person is what David HaMelech is saying, the Beis HaMikdash is meant for people to strive to be. A Naki Kapayim with clean hands, a Var Levav who only fears Hashem, and a person whose speech is perfect and who never swears falsely or takes the name of Hashem in vain. for that person and the people who are striving to be like that, that's mi yaleh v'har Hashem. That's who is intended to be able to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Gittini says, Yisav bracha me'es Hashem, and he'll receive a bracha from Hashem, v'tzedaka me'elokei Yishai, and kindness from the God of salvation. What does that mean? He'll receive a blessing from Hashem, and he'll get kindness from the God of salvation. So Rav Hirsch explains, you know what it means? That Hashem gives every person exactly what they need for their own welfare. Because Yisah is translated here as will receive. Literally, the Shorish means to lift up. That Hashem will lift up a bracha to you. This sounds a little odd in English, right? But to Yisah a bracha means to pull up the bracha to the person. The person is getting the exact bracha that they need and that will help them with their welfare. And David HaMelech is saying, if you have all of these qualities, you know what your reward from Hashem will be? And you're all excited to hear the answer. Yes, what will my reward be? And the answer is exactly what you should have. And almost as one, we all went, oh. Right? That really doesn't sound all that dramatic. David HaMelech is telling you this is a dramatic reward. Hashem will give you what you need to grow as much as possible, and that's the ultimate bracha. If you have clean hands and a clean speech and a clean heart, then Hashem will give you what you need. Hashem will give you what you need to be able to accomplish as much as possible so that you can be worthy of going up to the Beis HaMikdash. So, if one wants to imagine the distance between David HaMelech and ourselves, when David HaMelech says this, it raises him up. When we say this, we sigh. We sigh because, oh, good bracha. What did you think I was going to say? You're going to get rich, and you're going to have a lot of kids who are talmid chachamim, and you're going to have all of the things that we bench people with. Well, you're going to have exactly what you should have. Even saying it, it doesn't have that pizzazz to it. That when we don't bench our kids on Friday nights, I want Hashem to give you whatever it is that you should have. Kids are like, yeah, thanks, Dad. Can I have another present? The David HaMelech is saying, that's the ultimate present. Hashem will give you exactly what you need for you to be able to grow more.
Un-American.
What?
It's un-American. Oh, that's for sure.
So now David HaMelech is turning his attention in the next pasuk to the people that will come after him. The people that will be building the Beis HaMikdash, and the people that will be zaycha to visit and see the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. He says, Zed Dor Dorsha. This is the generation of those who seek Him, Mevakshe Farnecha, who strive and seek for Your presence, Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael, Selah. These are the people who will seek Him. The people that will seek Hashem are the people that strive for this quality to get what they need and what they deserve. Those are the people that will be Mevakshe Hashem. And in fact, I once heard Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, say that, and he quoted this pasuk, and he said, you know, we call people today who came from backgrounds of who did not, for whatever reason, did not observe Torah, and then later on in life as adults, they became Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. We call those people Balei Tshuva. He said that's incorrect. That's a misnomer. A Balei Tshuva is a person who knew what they were doing, went out and did a lot of averas, and then regretted it. That's a Balei Tshuva. He says, you know what people are who come up and they didn't have any background in Torah, and then they become Shomer Torah Mitzvahs? They're Mevakshe Panech. They're people who want to seek out Hashem. They're not people who have regrets. Oh, gosh, you know what? Yeah, I shouldn't have, I did that avera, that was terrible, because I remember my Rebbe said that I really shouldn't have done that. But you know, I didn't really listen to my Rebbe, I was terrible. Right? Instead, there are people who walked up and they're Mevakshe Panecha. David HaMelech is speaking to people saying, these generations that are going to come, they're going to be Mevakshe Panecha. They're going to strive for your presence. This is what makes a Jew a Jew. This is what makes Yaakov. Then he says, Yaakov. This is Yaakov. This is the Bnei Yisrael. Salah, we discussed before, Salah, whatever Salah may mean. Mevakshe Parnacha Yaakov, he talks about. Right now, one of the things he says is that, he says it in the plural, Mevakshe Parnacha, all of those who are striving for Hashem. The truth is that the Beis HaMikdash is not just for Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is for all people. Chazal tell us that if the nations of the world realize what they had in the Beis HaMikdash, they will have an unimaginable amount of regret at not having taken advantage of it. But the nations of the world didn't realize what they had. And the Lassid Lava, when the nations of the world realize what they had in the Beis HaMikdash, they will have an unrequited, just terrible charata that they didn't take advantage of it. I think we mentioned before that David HaMelech wanted to give over a sense of ruchnias to all the people of the world through his Tehillim. And the next person after David HaMelech that's going to be able to accomplish that is Mashiach. When Mashiach comes and the nations of the world see what they could have had, they'll have tremendous charata. They'll say, we should have been Mevakshe Panacha. But who's Mevakshe Panacha now? Yaakov. The B'nai Yisrael and Mevakshe Panacha. It says, Se'u she'arim, raise up the gates, Roshechem, your heads, v'hinasu pisachei oilam, and be uplifted, your everlasting gates and entrances, v'yavo melech ha'kavod, so that he met the king of glory may enter. The everlasting entrances, David HaMelech just brought back the Aron with the Luchos in it. When the Aron was in the hands of B'nai Yisrael, where was it? It was in different places. Wherever they had the temporary, just kind of wherever they were bringing the korbanos, it was in various cities. It didn't have a permanent home until the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech is calling the Beis HaMikdash the Pisachei Olam, the forever entrances, the entrances that'll last forever. Because once he can fulfill his dream of bringing the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, it's like putting the final nail in the completion of the world. It's like having a desk that you built, or some sort of woodworking project that you built, and you've nailed all the corners together. So I've been assigned a Pesach project. We have new shelves in our basement. At least we will have new shelves in our basement as soon as we get the rest of the screws and nails put together. Right now we have shelves, but you can't put anything on them, or they come crashing down. And there's a few screws still sitting there, because at the very end, it's hard to sort of jam the last corner and get it lined up. So my son and I worked on it, and then we decided that we had other things that needed to be done. There was a lot of things to do, and we would work on that at a later time, yet to be determined. Right? So it's still sitting there, and you can't really put anything on it. But you know what? All it would take to put something on it is a little determined effort to screw in the last corner. The Beis HaMikdash is the last corner of the world. The last corner of being screwed in, and David HaMelech called it the Pisachei Olam, the forever gates. Right? That Hashem's presence will be nailed down, so to speak, under the shelves once we have the Pisachei Olam. Mizah Melech HaKavod, says David HaMelech. Who is this King of Glory? Hashem Izuz VeGibor. Hashem is mighty and strong. Hashem Gibor Melchama. Hashem is strong in battle. Now, when they had the Aron, they used to take it with them in battle. So let's go back to our visualization board for a moment, if you will. You've got the king, and the king has to carry a Sefer Torah with him. And he's got all of the kingly, is that a word? Mm-hmm. All of the kingly accoutrements, if you will. And he's got all of the court and the guards, and he's got the Sefer Torah on the horse. It's a dramatic scene. All right, and then here we come bearing the Aron HaKodesh. And if the people in that army, all right, are Nikki Kapayim, clean of hands, and they're pure of heart, and their speech is pure, nothing and no one can stand before such an army. No nation in the world can stand before an army with a Melech who's true of heart, carrying a Sefer Torah, and Klal Yisrael carrying the Aron HaKodesh. David HaMelech says, Miza Melech HaKavod, so who's Hashem's glory? Hashem Gibor Melchama. So at first that sounds like a strange praise. He's good in battle? What does that mean? That my swords work really well? against the other guy. It seems like an odd kind of thing to praise Hashem for. He's good in battle. It's a strong battle wager. It means that when we properly serve Hashem, we take Hashem with us into battle. No army could stand before such a thing. I lost my place here. So Ushar and Rashaychem. Raise up. Raise up your everlasting entrances, v'yavo melech hakavod, and that the king may enter. So what is it that we're going to bring back for the king that may enter, the king of glory? We want to open up the everlasting, raise up. So before he calls it what? He calls it the pischei olam, the forever gates. And now he says, raise up the gates, raise up the everlasting gates, so that the king can enter. Which king and what entering are we talking about? You can take a wild guess here. Mashiach. But David HaMelech knows that the level he's trying to get us to strive for will for sure be accomplished in the times of Mashiach. Mihuzeh Melech HaKavod. So who is this King of Glory? Hashem Tzvakaisu. Hashem is the master of the armies. Melech HaKavod. He's the Melech of Kavod, of glory. Selah. Yes. This is Rima.
I thought that the king was Mashiach.
Yeah, it's all of those things. Which is when he says Mizu Melech Kavod, no, that's talking about Hashem. We're talking about V'yavo Melech Kavod in Pasuk 9, in Pasuk Tes, he's saying that the king's glory will be Mashiach coming. Or it's Hashem's glory, maybe I didn't say that exactly right. Hashem's glory will be the coming of Mashiach. That's a better way of saying it. Sorry, I said it a little confusing. Mizu Melech Kavod. Who is this King of Glory? Hashem Tzvakaisu, Melech HaKavod Selah. Right, this kapitel is so different from the kapitelach we've been learning so far. The kapitelach, last week's also, the kapitelach we've been learning so far have been about David's trials and tribulations. But some of them have just been so intense that you wonder how David was able to overcome these trials and tribulations. But you know what? When a person, there's a saying. And saying is, you know what? It's not as hard to die a Jew as it is to live as one. And while that's not meant to take something away, chas v'shalom, from Jews who were killed al kiddush Hashem, that a person who rises to a kiddush Hashem only has to do so one time. To live every minute of your life as a kiddush Hashem is enormously difficult. So far we've been talking about kapitelach where David was oppressed and David was chased and David was beaten down, yet even through all that he never wavered a single thread in his betachon of Hashem. Here David HaMelech has nobody oppressing. The world is going his way. It looks like he's going to build the base of Mikdash. He's got the Aron HaKodesh back. And yet we still see that without the impetus, without an external impetus, David HaMelech is still praising Hashem, the likes of which is unable to believe. So many people, I think, what was in the army, they say there's no atheists in foxholes or something like that. But, you know, when times are tough, all of a sudden, Hashem is our best bud. Right? And you start making deals. You know, well, you know what, if I just get out of this, Hashem, I'll do this, and I'll make a deal like this, and make a deal like this. And I forgot what it was, once said that he always likes to hear people say, you know, if I win the lottery, I'll give half of it to yeshivas. Like, until then, Hashem didn't know what he was going to do for the yeshivas. He was worried, oh, but now that Chaim Yankel is willing to give half of his money to the yeshivas, all my problems are solved, I'll just let Chaim Yankel win the lottery. Right? So they make a deal. Now, when Chaim Yankel wins a lottery, is he sitting there every day still making deals with Hashem? No. Now, the pressure's off. With David HaMelech, the pressure's never off. Right? All he can think about is how to improve his avodas Hashem. And he's thinking here about the base of Mikdash and what it'll do for Klal Yisrael. And how all Klal Yisrael should be able to achieve this cleanliness of speech, heart, and action to be able to merit the base of Mikdash. He's looking for that achdus of Klal Yisrael. I know we've said before some stories from our friend Rabbi Rubin, but perhaps this is Nogeya at Pesach time. He said that, you know, he once looked around and observed, when is it that new shuls seem to open up? He says, you know when he seems to notice that new shuls open up? Right after Pesach and right after Sukkot. He says, you know why? Because people like to argue about the arguments. He said, how many times do you have an argument with someone, and whatever you're arguing about has absolutely nothing to do with what you're really arguing about? Now, those of us who are married, that leaves out a couple of our younger attendees here, will know how true that is with your own spouse. You're having an argument about, darn it, you're supposed to put the cell phone on the table when you come in, and not, I'm only speaking for myself, I'm sure everyone else here never would do such a thing, but in my own life, sometimes you argue about things, and that's not really what you're arguing about. But all of a sudden, something just was one straw too much, and you couldn't take the pressure anymore. And you said, darn it, the cell phone's always on the table. Well, who cares about the cell phone? What happened was you were upset about this and this and this, and there was one straw, and it just flipped you out. I said, you know what? Yontif people have a lot of time on their hands. They go to shul, all right? And they schmooze with their friends, all right? And, you know, they were a little annoyed that Chaim Yankel talks all the time in shul, and they're a little annoyed at this guy, and they're a little annoyed that the Rav is supposed to speak for 10 minutes, speaks for 12, all right, or he's supposed to speak for 10, he speaks for 8, and you know, the Kiddush never has the drumettes anymore, we pay all this money, we can't get the drumettes, and use these things, but all of a sudden, in Yontif, every day, in shul, every day, after shul, with no, you know, and long davening, and halals, and musavs, and kriyas, and finally someone put the darn drumettes down, and that's it, I'm making my own shul. All right, after Pesach, I'm going out and I'm making my own shul. I've had it. Come on, guys, we're making our own shul. We're going to have drumettes every Shabbos. Well, drumettes have nothing to do with it. All right? The point is that people, achdus is a hard thing. And what happens is people like to argue about things because they're just having a hard time with achdus. What they're arguing about has nothing to do with what they're arguing about. He says, so he looked around in his town and he noticed that every time a new shul started, it was right after Pesach and right after Sukkot. Because why? Because the people would get fed up, and that's it, we're making our own shul. Right? And then, you know, a few years later, some people from that shul, after one sukkah, so one Pesach, of davening with each other day in and day out for 8 or 9 days, couldn't take it. You know what? We're making our own shul. It can't sound the way they do things over there. Right? Because you know what? That's not what the argument is about. David HaMelech is saying, please, it's enough that I can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Every generation that the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt is like a generation that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He's begging, you know what? Be a zor dorsha. Be the door that seeks Hashem. Right? Mevakshei panecha. And that strives for the presence of Hashem. Because Yaakov, that's what the Bnei Yisrael are. Argue about arguments. Right? It really doesn't matter in the end, does it? Only thing that matters in the end is Miza Melech HaKavod. Who is the King of Glory? Right? And you know, perhaps, as this is our last year before Pesach, since I think the next week, Erev B'dikas Chametz, everybody will be busy. And I think that this message from David HaMelech is a very Pesach-thick message. And it's Beshert that we're hearing this before Pesach. Pesach time is a wonderful yontif. It's also a stressful yontif. You have a lot of preparations, and then you go to shul, and there are the guys that say halal in the shul, and guys that don't say halal, and they do this thing, and there are the gebrochs, and the not gebrochs, all right? I once asked a friend of mine who's coming for Pesach, what do you hold on gebrochs? He said, I hold, they're delicious. That is completely irrelevant, except I always am amused by that statement, right? So there, you know, we have all, people have different minhagim, and of course we have right in our neighborhood many Sephardish fellows eating their nice dinners of rice and whatever. Thinking, hey, that looks pretty good over here. And David HaMelech is saying, nyah! Nyah is a quote. I don't think he's saying nyah, but he's saying nyah! Nizeh dar darsha. Alright? You know what? Keep the pie. Just make sure that everything you have, you're entitled to. Make sure that when you speak properly. And make sure that when you fear something, you don't fear how things are going in shul. You don't fear what other people... All you do is you fear Hashem. Then, David HaMelech is saying, to be zoicha to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Baruch Hashem, this should be the last time we ever have to have such a discussion on Galus without the Beis HaMikdash. questions? Any questions? You probably took notes. Wow.
Thank you.